Good morning. So we started a four-week series, I guess 3 weeks back, and all about God's missionary heart. And we started out in week one looking at the fact that our God is a missionary God. And we looked at how he's passionately pursuing his people. He longs to be with his people. He longs to be in relationship with you, but not just you. He longs for all peoples and all nations because God is love. And so he is on mission for man. He's passionately pursuing people. And that's good news, and we need to keep that in mind for what came next week. We need to keep in mind how much he loves us, because sometimes it's kind of hard when God lets difficult things happen, because there's nothing that God won't do to bring honor and glory to his great name. That's what we looked at week two, was the story of his glory. So he's passionately pursuing people. He's passionately pursuing glory. And how's he doing that? He's building a kingdom. The one true king has done battle with the counterfeit king and has defeated him. And now he is pushing back the dominion of darkness and advancing the kingdom of light and saving souls, looking for obedient subjects who would bow to him, yield to him, and be transferred from the dominion of darkness to the kingdom of light. He's pursuing his people. He's pursuing his glory. He's building a kingdom. And before Jesus finished all those things, he left planet Earth. Why would Jesus do that? He did not finish pursuing and getting relationship with people from every nation before he left. He didn't finish bringing glory to his great name from every nation before he went back up. And he didn't finish building his kingdom before he went back up. Why would he do that? Well, that brings us to this week, the mandate for the nations. And this is where we talk about where you and I fit in to God's plan. And this is going to be really good news for some of you that are wrestling with, what is God's will for my life? Or some of you may just be a little bit bored with life or feel kind of blah. And it's because God has made you with a specific purpose. And we get to see this morning from the scriptures what his purpose is for you and how you fit. And it might be a chance for you to finally scratch that itch down deep in your soul to go, this is what I've been waiting for and what I've been longing for. As we look at the mandate for the nations. And mandate is kind of like a command, but with more official power and authority and an enduring purpose. The mandate that comes from God to us. Now, when I was in high school, I was on the track and field team, and not because I was fast, but because I liked hanging out on Saturdays with my friends and with the cute girls, and I could throw the shot put just far enough to make the team and rarely place. But I made the team, and it was fun. So our coaches one time decided, I don't know if it was just a cruel trick or what, but they got together with some other coaches and decided, let's do a big man relay at this track meet, which means it's a 400-meter relay for only the guys that throw shot put and disc, who are usually a little bit more hefty stock, you know. And so we each had 100 meters to run around and hand the baton. And we didn't know how to run. We didn't do it much. And so they brought us in for training, and they had some VHS tapes that taught us proper form running. And I just remember them, all the different things they said, like, okay, lean forward, put your chest out, shoulders back, keep your eyes on the horizon, you have to cut the pizza, you have to hammer back, you have to high knee it up and reach out with your toes. And so I put it all together And man, I was ready to run, you know. So we take it outside and we're putting it together. So it came time for the big man relay. The day came. And one might look at me and assume he's not overly large. He might be kind of fast, and one would assume incorrectly. Nonetheless, they put me at the last leg of the race, and when the guy came around to give me the baton, he does the whole stick thing, and I do this, and I just turn around and get it and start running, and I'm doing my thing, you know? And I'm like, man, this feels good. And we were in second to last place at that time, and on the far outside lane, this guy that looked like a giant apple with shoes just smoked me, just, and I was like, I'm doing all the things, what's happening? But God took us from second to last place, crossed the finish line with the baton in hand. The only reason I tell you that story is because it's my only ever real life experience with a baton. And you and I have received a baton. God is up to something. There's something he's accomplishing. And he got all the way up to the last leg, and then he handed the baton to his disciples. And then his disciples handed the baton to their disciples. And their disciples handed it to their disciples on down the road until the day when you heard the gospel and believed it. And someone handed you the baton and you have it. God has given the last leg of the race to us. What race are you talking about? That's a good question. Let's look at the scriptures, and I want to answer three questions from the scriptures. What's the job? Meaning, what is the race? What is he accomplishing? What's the job? Whose job is it? And how do we do it? So let's look first at what's the job. And I want to reference a few things before we actually look at a passage. First of all, in the Old Testament, you'll remember God made a promise to Abram and said, I'm going to bless you, make your name great, make you a great nation, so that through you I can bless all peoples, bless all nations. And if you remember King David, God established an eternal throne and kingship through his line that will rule over all nations. And if you remember in the Psalms over and over again, praise God among the nations, and all nations will someday praise him. And in the prophets, just for example, Isaiah, who God speaking of Messiah, says it's too small that you would only save Israel. You're to be a light to all nations. So through all the Old Testament, you see that Israel's patriarchs, kings, poets, and prophets carried this message from God that the goal is to get glory from all nations. And I just want to encourage you as you read through your Bible this year. I remember somebody challenged me, just highlight every time you see the word nations, or all nations, or all the earth, or the whole world, or you can also look for the words glory or known or honor, those things together, his glory among the nations. And I remember when I did that, I thought somebody has swapped out my Bible, because there's no way all this stuff was here before. And once you're looking for it, you see God has always had his heart set firmly on all nations. And it's through all of the Old Testament. And then look at the New Testament. You see in the ministry of Jesus, he's giving clues that he's after glory from all nations. And specifically, we see the words he's looking for faith, and he finds faith among the nations. For example, and sometimes when he does this, he finds faith among the nations, even through, or sometimes in spite of Israel, and sometimes it makes them upset to see him reaching out to the nations. And take a look, for example, he spoke to a Roman centurion in Matthew 8 about authority. And this Roman centurion said, I understand authority, and I know you have authority, so you don't even have to come to my house. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. And Jesus goes, you get it. I haven't found faith like this in all of Israel. And then in Matthew 15, he spoke to a Canaanite woman. Remember the conversation about crumbs? And the disciples were saying, get this woman away from here. And Jesus, I can just imagine him kind of messing with his disciples and kind of assumes this persona of ethnocentrism like his disciples were to go, yeah, we're only coming for the sons of Israel. So it's not right for us to give bread from the table from the sons to the dogs. And she gets it and she leans in, presses in and says, yes, but, and she humbles herself and she knows and she says, yes, but even the dogs eat crumbs from the table. And Jesus is like, yeah, you get it. Great is your faith. And in Luke 17, to a Samaritan leper, there was 10 of them that were healed and one came back to say thank you to Jesus. And he was a Samaritan. And he says, your faith has made you well. And notice, Roman, Canaanite, Samaritan, the nations, Jesus is going after them. Also notice that he dips into the Old Testament, quotes some Old Testament when he talks about Elijah. In Luke 4, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, and Elijah was sent to none of them, none of the Israelites, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them were cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. And he's saying, look, I'm after the Gentiles, and my father through the Old Testament was also after the Gentiles. And after he said that is when they wanted to press and push him over a cliff. They didn't like it, but he's going to get glory from all nations. And we see in the ministry of Jesus, he continues to give these clues that he's after all nations. We see him talking to a Samaritan woman at the well, John 4. You see, whenever he's turning over the tables, he says, my house is to be a house of prayer for all nations. So get these tables that you're in here making money in the court of the Gentiles, crowding out the nations. And that's what got him fired up. And remember the story of the good Samaritan. He's a Gentile. And in Luke 15, the lost sheep, coin, and son, the non-Israelites. And then he says, I have sheep that are not of this fold. And he says to the Israelites, I'm going to take the kingdom from you and give it to someone who will bear the fruit I'm looking for of faith and repentance and justice. And do you remember when Jesus sent out his disciples? First, he sent out 12. And do you remember the number the second time he sent them out? He sent out 70. And this one is a little more beneath the surface. But if you recall in Genesis, the Tower of Babel, whenever they were scattered, and then you see in Genesis 10, the list of all the different nations that came from that, when God, that was the beginning of cultures and languages that scattered, and you count them up, there's 70 of them. So this is sort of Jesus' way of first sending out 12 to say, yeah, I'm after the 12 tribes of Israel. And then he sends out 70 and says, I'm also after all nations. I want them all. I love them all. I'm going to get glory from them all. And then we see a glimpse of the finish line. Where do you think that might be? Turn to Revelation. Revelation chapter 7. After this, I'm going to stick to mainly the Gospels, Frida. Hopefully you won't have to flip quite as much as last time. And it's interesting, the finish line here, we get a glimpse of what it's going to look like at the end when the job is done, when the race is finished. And it actually ends up looking kind of like, the word that comes to my mind is sort of an anti-concert. What I mean by that is when I think of a concert, I think of one person at the focal point, the center of it all, that's working like crazy to entertain and put on a show and sing and a huddled masses listening and spectating. So here we see a sort of a picture of an anti-concert. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. After this I looked, and behold, And this is a vision that God gave John. A great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. There's sort of a clue of what a nation is. You see the distinctions of tribe, people, language, of cultures and customs and languages. From every nation, all tribes, peoples, and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." I love it, because instead of Jesus, who's the focal point, just sitting up there working to entertain everyone, he's seated because his work is finished. And everyone else is working hard to praise him. They're giving him praise and honor and glory. And who is it that's there doing that forever and ever? It's every tribe, nation, and tongue. And notice, does it say from every, it doesn't say every individual. It says every nation. So there's not going to be every soul that ever lived around the throne. There is going to be a representation from every nation around the throne. You're going to have a sampling of every different culture, color, language, song coming together as one voice. I don't think one uniform voice, but one diversified chorus in praise to the seated Lamb on the throne. That's how it's going to end. But